Gentlemen of the Dresden Court, your attention, please. Chamberlain von Holzendorf is the speaker of the day.
Chamberlain von Holzendorf, Herr Chancellor, reporting for Captain von Loben and Superintendent Loescher and Dr. Reitenhike of the State Church of Saxony.
Yes, well, proceed with your report.
Your investigation committee of four has concluded its interrogation at the community of Herrnhut. While at Herrnhut, we carried out the directives of this court, making detailed inquiries into matters of religious and theological conformity, into the process of acquiring new members for the community, and the current activities of Count Nicholas Ludwig Zinzendorf.
The court is ready for your findings, Chamberlain von Holzendorf.
We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 21 of The Count of the Mustard Seed, the story of Count Nicholas Ludwig Zinzendorf. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and comes to you from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.
The investigating committee of four has made a thorough survey of people and property at the Herrnhut community. We attended meetings. We witnessed young children in catechism class. We were part of small adult Bible study groups. This is our decision. The committee feels that there has been no change in the teachings at Herrnhut since the first investigation some 5 years ago.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, Chamberlain Holzendorf has the floor.
It is our unanimous opinion that Herrnhut is worshiping in absolute conformity with the Augsburg Confession. That there is nothing taught or preached there that would offend the State Church of Saxony. Furthermore, we have carefully considered the matter of the special rituals and disciplines which are enforced in the community. It is true that they are part of the old Bohemian and Moravian Church.
Your attention, gentlemen.
But it is our unanimous opinion that this in no way contradicts worship in conformity with the Augsburg Confession. Therefore, it is recommended that the Herrnhut community and all its members be allowed to go unmolested in so long as they continue to worship as they are now doing.
May I extend the thanks of the Dresden courts and the Saxon government for your labors, Chamberlain Holzendorf. But your report is not yet complete.
No.
The findings regarding the founder of the community.
On this subject, we are prepared to say little. We are sympathetic with those who say that Count Nicholas Ludwig Zinzendorf is a controversial figure. And so, we do not wish at this time to make any official recommendation. The committee wishes to suggest that the order demanding his banishment from Saxony be, for the time, allowed to stand.
No, I will not take dinner with you, Countess von Roos. I want to be on the road before dark.
As you wish, Lutz. I stopped debating with my son-in-law years ago.
But I appreciate your letting me take refuge here the last month.
I just do not understand why you have been so happy since the report from the court came this morning.
You don't? After all these years, don't you know how I feel about Herrnhut? It is safe, Countess. That is what the report said. The Moravians can stay there.
Until the next time. Admit it, Lutz, that report does not mean the trouble is over, and my daughter is back there in the middle of it.
It is over for now. It was your daughter who handled the investigating committee with tact and saved the community.
Those dear little ones of hers, the baby not 6 months yet. I do not see how Erdmuth does it, and all alone. Lutz, have you any good sense? The report says that you are still in exile. You cannot go back home to Herrnhut.
I know it.
And yet you are starting out tonight as if... Oh, I do not know.
God has willed that I should travel, Countess. I have thought it all through, fought it out with myself. God wants me to travel and witness.
While my daughter and my grandchildren sit alone there in Herrnhut.
I shall send for them.
When?
I can't tell you now, when I find a place.
But if you are going to travel...
I am going to travel until God wants me to stop. You wondered why I could be so happy, Countess. Let me try to tell you. All my life, I have been a man who has been bound down to one place. And yet all my life, I have been a man who sees the whole world before him when he sits down to pray. Now God has forced me out into the world to witness. I am no longer just the Count of Berthelsdorf anymore. I am a count in exile. And I am going to be a pilgrim count. A pilgrim in the name of Jesus Christ.
For many, many years, Count Zinzendorf, your name and your testimony have been an inspiration to me. And so, when I heard that you were, shall we say, visiting in our little province, I hurried right over to meet you personally.
Thank you very much, Herr...
Schubert, I'm steward of Eisenberg-Morholtz.
Yes, I'm familiar with the Eisenberg family.
Oh, are you? A fine old German family. A heritage that's centuries old. A name that in some quarters carries as much honor as the name Zinzendorf.
So this is an Eisenberg village.
Do I detect a note of sadness in your voice? Ah, you look at the cracks in the walls of this inn with the eyes of a Zinzendorf.
Well, a family's fortunes go up and down. I understand that.
How I wish that the villagers whose children go cold in the winter and hungry in the summer could be so philosophical.
You have been having real difficulties in the village?
The entire province of Wattaveria has suffered. Well, I'm not blaming anyone. But the house of Eisenberg is almost bankrupt.
You have a hard job if you are steward. Do you have any plans for bringing money into the village?
One small plan. Perhaps not a very good one, because so very few people go by this way. But it's in the back of my mind that some of our exquisitely antique castles could be leased by some well-to-do nobleman looking for a new home.
You have some empty castles?
Oh, a few. Handsome specimens of early German architecture. Oh, a man with your discernment would find them worth a trip to a museum.
They are large?
Oh, I should say rather roomy, but not unmanageable.
Herr Schubert, it is more than a coincidence that you found me here in this inn. You see, I am looking for a place to settle. Outside of Saxony, that is.
Well, Count, there is one castle I'd like to call a family castle.
I am thinking of more than my family. I want to try an experiment. In my mind, there is growing something I would like to call a pilgrim congregation. I would like to bring into one central place all these who are most vital in the management of my missions and my two communities.
Oh, when I said family castle, I was thinking of a large family.
Would there be a long delay in getting this castle?
Oh, you could move in tomorrow.
Then let me think it over. It sounds as if God just sent you here. But I want to talk it over with a friend, a co-worker named Christian David, who is going to meet me here tomorrow. I shall let you know, Herr Schubert.
Step this way, Herr Christian David. I want you to take a complete report back to Count Zinzendorf. We'll go upstairs. Oh, watch your step.
Yeah, the stairs are rotten.
Did you hurt yourself?
I could have broken my leg. Help me get my foot out of these rotten boards.
Yes. There you are.
This could be serious.
Oh, a simple matter to take care of. A clever carpenter could repair it in half an hour.
I'm a carpenter. Terrible expense to repair these stairs. Every one of them's rotten.
Perhaps we should have taken the rear stairs. But first, let me show you the ballroom. Well, of course, it is a bit drafty, but you'll see how spacious a room is.
Drafty? There isn't a whole window in the place.
Weather and storm, they take their toll. But that doesn't affect the total structure. See what a gracious room it is.
Yeah.
Well, now the drawing room is over here. I can see this as the Count's study, for it opens up right this way here, David, and in here. You see? It opens up on a wide vista of God's creation.
It's out of the question. That man insulted you, Count.
Now, Christian David, it is not like you to put such an emphasis on material things.
I lived 4 years in Greenland, ate raw meat and froze, slept in thatched huts. I'd rather go back than live in Ronneburg. Well, you couldn't live there, Count.
Why not? What is wrong with the Castle Ronneburg?
The roof leaks.
That can be repaired.
You haven't seen that roof. Turrets and towers, and it goes this way and that way. Besides, there are bats and rats. The rugs and window hangings are in shreds. The place is filthy.
But it is spacious. And there are grounds?
Yeah, I saw them too. Nothing but a camping ground for gypsies.
What?
We stumbled over them. Gypsy families squatting outside. Dirty women, children in rags.
They live there?
Just picture it. The gypsies outside, your respectable pilgrim congregation having a session inside.
This is it.
What?
This is why God sent us here.
Count, I do not understand you.
He sent us to a mission field. He had one ready and waiting for us. The gypsies, Christian David. We are to be missionaries to the whole world. And God wants to start right here at the Castle Ronneburg. When can we move in?
In 5 minutes, any time you want. Count, you've always had too much money. You don't understand this man who came to see you. He's desperate.
And you forget, Christian David. So am I.
Well, I can sleep on feathers or straw. But what about your nobleman friends? Wait until Lord Van Watville gets there.
I think he will learn that feathers do not matter if you are on God's mission. He will have to learn, Christian David. Now go find the steward Eisenberg Merholtz before anybody else decides to rent the Castle Ronneburg.
Here he comes. Ma says he owns a castle in every village in the whole world.
I'm gonna ask him.
I saw him first.
Herr Count! Herr Count! Give us a coin.
What's that?
I got a sick sister.
Now, what would you do with the coin, son, if I gave it to you?
Give it to my ma.
Buy something to eat.
Are you hungry, son?
He's always hungry. Herr Count, you got any bread with you?
Well, not right now.
We can wait. We got no place to go.
I have a better idea. You are both invited to dinner with my son tonight. He's just your size, 9 years old.
You got a boy like me, huh?
And bring your friends. Do you have sisters?
He's got six.
Then ask them all to come along. My daughter is giving a party. She is 11.
You mean it? Us? Eating there?
Tonight, at dinner. Now you run, tell all your friends. I shall see you tonight. Everybody here got enough to eat?
You eat meals like this every day, Herr Count?
Would you like to come back to the castle again?
We sure would, boy.
Can we eat?
I think we can arrange that, too. But I was thinking of something else. How would you like to go to school?
To school? My ma says gypsies don't go to school.
Sometimes they don't. But all the children that live around the Ronneburg castle do. My son and my daughters and all of you together. Do you want to? All right. Be here the first thing in the morning. The girls go with my daughter Benina. The boys come in this room with Renotis here. The countess will teach the girls, and we shall find a teacher somewhere for you boys. And we're going to have fun together, all of us.
And so we conclude Chapter 21 of The Count of the Mustard Seed, the story of Count Nicholas Ludwig Zinzendorf. This has been another in the series Stories of Great Christians, and comes to you from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.